KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you on this beautiful Monday. Joaquin Romero, my good friend, he's been involved in politics. He's a very young man, but he got sold on politics somehow. So today we're going to be talking about the direction of New Mexico and looking through a Christian lens, the lens of responsibility, stewardship, and engagement. And Joaquin, I know that's a source of frustration for you. You've been doing things like serving as chief of staff for Senate Republicans and director of communications. You've been at the state legislature how many years in a row?
Gosh, this will be my seventh year at this point.
And that's, you know, that could be 60 days, that could be 30 days, but you're up there and you're helping and consulting with various people that are serving. I know Crystal Brantley has you doing a bunch for her and helping her with communication. So today what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping as a Christian young man, there's some reason you're involved in politics. I sometimes want to, you know, just run for the hills when I hear about politics, because I guess the truth is I would say I don't understand it. But then when I look at through a Christian worldview, it's like, okay, first of all, we know that nobody's ever going to agree with everything we think, right? Sure. But at the same time, we know that God is saying certain things to us and we should allow that, or it should inform what we do. So let's get started here. What about politics in New Mexico first grabbed your attention that led you to pursue it as a career?
Yeah, well, Jim, I appreciate you bringing me on. I've been on this show before, but I'm still shaking in my boots, you know, especially. Nah. You hear Alistair Begg, you know, with that big baritone voice, you know, it's a fun. Appreciate you bringing me on after such a big name. But, you know, it was really a calling for me. I started, you know, in high school getting involved. My dad was in city government for many years, and I got to hear the city council debate for years and years. And I had a friend of mine who reached out to me and said, "Hey, I think you'd be interested in this club. It's called Youth in Government." Mm-hmm. Now, that's a program administered by the YMCA of New Mexico, which takes kids up to the roundhouse, and you get to play state government for the day. You know, you elect a governor. You know, you have other, everybody's a legislator or in the judicial. It's a very good program. I encourage anybody with high school age kids to look into it. You know, but I started, and that was the first time I'd really tested out, you know, what is my political ideology? I was raised right here at Calvary Church, and, you know, my whole family is here. My brother works here just in the other room. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is home, and that is my core ideology, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that is our mission. To go out into the world. But, you know, how does that interact with the modern political parties, the issues happening?
Well, I spent a little time with you at the Roundhouse this past legislative session, and I've personally seen you, I would say, testify that you speak to as many people on the left that may not share your ideology with as many people on the right, some of who do share your ideology. I know you have a more conservative view, but you also, on certain issues, have the reputation as somebody who's happy to talk and be respectful. And I didn't see one person in the time, and I was up there with you for quite a few days, I didn't see one person uncomfortable talking with you. Now, I would be very uncomfortable talking to people, for example, about maybe there's somebody that's pro-abortion. Well, that might make me, and this is a character flaw of mine, I think, I might be uncomfortable calling on them because we disagree on that issue to help me figure out how to bring doctors back to the state of New Mexico, which was a big issue. But you don't hesitate. You are addressing each issue in a certain way, and you're happy to work with everybody. And that says a lot to me. I really appreciate that perspective. Is it hard?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it all goes back to those days at the YMCA. You know, I met my wife debating her at the Roundhouse, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think it helps. You know, it's actually been a real blessing. You know, I am not ashamed. I work for the Republican Party. I've worked for them for a very long time. Many of the caucus members I've worked with, I mean, everybody from federal down to the smallest local has mostly been Republicans, you know, but I'm married to a very proud Democrat. And I think that is a blessing in those scenarios because I've had an opportunity to speak to people on the other side of the aisle and say, hey, look, I get it. And I don't just get it in like some, you know,
I should get rid of the elephant in the room. I think there's people, I may have had this perspective at one time, that there's not a lot of evangelical believers that are Democrats. And that is a wrong perspective, isn't it?
There's lots of them. You know, I mean, you talk to many of my family, you know, folks that are, you know, cousins, aunts, uncles. I mean, and there's something deeper that we all share, you know, at least in New Mexico. And I think it's a shared culture, a shared history, and in many cases, a shared faith. And I think that is where a lot of the, you know, divides happen far beyond before we get to, you know, the ballot box or before we get to, you know, which party you subscribe to, which, you know, I have a lot of independents we know as well, you know, folks that don't feel that either party represents their, you know, their core values.
I saw an article in the New Mexico Sun, newmexicosun.com, where you were talking about some research, some recent polling. This is, I think, back in January. And you said that most New Mexicans, according to this polling, feel like the state is on the wrong track. When did you first see that disconnect firsthand?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately been as long as I've been involved, you know, just over 10 years now. You know, there's always this underlying feeling that things are on the wrong track. And I think for New Mexico, it's because we see our neighbors like Texas and Arizona and Colorado and Utah doing so well. You know, you go visit Phoenix, you go visit Denver, you go visit, I mean, even Amarillo, just on the other side of the border here to our east.
Well, we shouldn't pull any punches, though. The Democrat leadership, they've dominated governing the state of New Mexico. Even when we've had Republican governors, the legislature in both houses has been primarily controlled by Democrats. I think that's 90 plus years. Do they bear some responsibility for not getting the wins, if I could make a sports analogy, that a lot of these other states are getting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no ands or buts about it. You know, we've had a Democrat trifecta for nearly 100 years here in New Mexico. And, you know, while some of the folks on the right, I might argue, you know, between different policies, I might not agree 100% with the Republican Party. A big reason why I'm involved with them and why I've continued to fight and build infrastructure and be involved at that level is by and large because of the Democrat control of our current state. And I think when you have one group in power for too long, the founding fathers never intended it for it to be that way. You know, there should be no kings, right? That's kind of the ideology of the founding fathers. And but a Democrat trifecta in the state acts very much in the same way. You know, we have a single group of individuals with a single ideology that don't get challenged often enough. And we have had Republican governors and, you know, we had a Republican controlled house about, you know, 15 years ago for a brief time. And, you know, so that's not to say that the Republicans don't bear some responsibility for the lack of progress in this state. But in order to make the radical change and catch up with, you know, I mean, you take Arizona, it's terrible to live there. I tell people, I can't imagine living in Phoenix, that living in an oven, you know, and yet we have some of the most beautiful vistas here, some of the greatest, you know, mineral resources, you know, economic opportunity, diversity of different industries that can come through here. Yet we don't take advantage of that. And I think challenging the status quo.
Are the issues, which we'll talk about in our second segment, the most important issues? There's many, many issues facing New Mexico, one being, say, education. You know, we're rated by multiple sources as last in education in the country. But I personally know a lot of people in public education that are teachers, and they're fabulous teachers. Mm-hmm. So I look at that and I go, why is this true? Why were we ranked at the bottom in education by the kids count And Mississippi used to be either 49th or 50th. We were either last or second to last. And now they've gone all the way up to like 17th because they've done something about it. I don't know what their makeup is, Democrat, Republican, Independent, et cetera, in their legislative makeup. But they're doing something about it. And New Mexico just seems to be maintaining the same status quo. Does that frustrate you?
Oh, certainly. You know, I've got two kids and one on the way, and I want my family to be here. We have deep roots here. We want to stay here. And so certainly when it comes to improving things like quality of life, education, I mean, that is what keeps me engaged in this process because I want to see that better future for my own kids.
And there's not a difference, is there? I mean, for example, there's as many Democrat business people as there are Republican business people. So I look up sometimes. A frequent guest on our show is Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. But so many times she has Democrat, she's bipartisan in her approach. I think if you ask her personally, she'd lean conservative. But she has as many people that vote Democrat as Republican, as vote Independent, et cetera. And she doesn't understand why we can't get together and do the best thing to attract businesses to New Mexico. She feels the same way about education, like I just mentioned. So, Joaquin, I know a lot of Christians, and I'm offering this as a challenge now to our listeners, and I'm going to testify before I offer the challenge. I will tell you that on a federal level, until today, I have never prayed for Nancy Pelosi. I have never prayed for Bernie Sanders. And that is irresponsible because I think the Bible clearly teaches that we're supposed to pray. Even when we feel like somebody's an enemy, we're supposed to pray for them, for not just them to, you know, do the right thing but pray for their well-being, pray for them to come to faith in Christ, pray for them conscientiously and consistently. And that's where I think Christians are frustrated, and I think it's because we don't do that first. Would you agree with that?
Yes, certainly. But I do think that this church is a testament to, you know, praying for those elected leaders who are in power. I mean, you look at, you know, Mayor Keller was here just in this back parking lot when, you know, this church offered thousands of meals to mm-hmm. folks around the city. And they've been an excellent partner. I understand during COVID, I mean, Pastor Skip was interacting with the governor, you know, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. And I know that there are people in this congregation who are setting the right example by praying for our elected leaders and those in power to make the right decision, to have the Holy Spirit speak to them, to act on, you know, what the Lord's will is. And so I think until we have, you know, as a brotherhood, sisterhood of believers, an understanding that, you know, it might not have played out how we thought. We might feel that there are forces beyond our control, and we are still called to pray for the success of those leaders, because it's for the betterment of all of us.
I would say the word urgent. I know that I urgently need to change my attitude with people that I don't agree with politically. I need to pray for them. I need to pray for their families. I need to be thankful that they're serving. I mean, and instead of just getting crazy angry and all this other stuff about it, we're with Joaquin Romero. Joaquin is a political consultant. He's served the state of New Mexico for a long time. He was the director of communications for the New Mexico Senate Republicans. He's worked closely with legislative leadership across the political spectrum, developing policy, and he has all kinds of ideas about strategically communicating things. And more than anything, he's a nice guy and gets along with both sides of the aisle. So I think it's a valuable lesson we can gain from a young man. And when we come back, we're going to talk about four or five of the most pressing issues happening in New Mexico. We'll be back with Joaquin Romero right after these messages. Hey, before we get back with Joaquin Romero, I want to mention to you that Good Friday, so this coming Friday, we're going to have a blood drive. And I've already signed up for 8:15 in the morning, And I think it's really important that, you know, there's such a shortage of blood. We're meeting with Joaquin today about, you know, politics and how he gets along with people both sides of the aisle. I've already told you my character flaws of not really praying for or even liking people that disagree with what I think, which is just a ridiculous perspective. I'm just admitting that right now. And repenting. I'm going to pray for people that don't necessarily agree with me. Well, what does that have to do with a blood drive? Look, I don't care what your faith is. I don't care what is going on. If you give blood, you will be doing something amazing to help somebody. We just don't have enough people donating blood. So the blood drive is going to be Good Friday in the parking lot at Calvary Church at 4001 Osuna. And you can get more information by going to klyt.fm and click on the blood drive and sign up specifically. And then you can just come in. Takes about 20, 30 minutes. You probably don't want to think about going and running a marathon right after you give blood. Sometimes people get a little lightheaded. I enjoy meeting with those people. I think it's a fascinating kind of thing. They have these really cool trucks and vehicles where, you know, you're comfortable, you're sitting in a nice chair, they give you water, and it's a nice thing. Have you given blood, Joaquin?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I used to give a lot. And as an EMT, I can't, speak to the, it's incredibly important, and it is absolutely life-saving. And some of those high trauma scenarios where, you know, the hospitals are really reliant on, good current blood, whole blood, blood products. You know, they do the plasma. That's a big one.
Yeah, they always hit me up with that. I think it's because of my blood type. They do the blood plasma instead of the blood. But anyway, Joaquin Romero is with us. Joaquin has had a lot of experience in his young years. He's the former communications director for the New Mexico Senate Republicans. He's worked closely with legislative leadership. I've already mentioned to you that he gets along really well with people on both sides of the aisle. He's been involved in helping do policy. He is an author. He's written a lot of different articles on some of the things that we're going to talk about right now. Joaquin, if you were to say there's five things, don't give us the details on those yet. We'll cover those as we go. But what are five things that you see are really urgent in terms of issues for prosperity in New Mexico?
Well, you know, we've always got about five or six that rotate around every single poll. And it's always, you know, crime, education, cost of living, the economy, and healthcare. But, yes, you know, each one of those is connected in more ways than you imagine. You know, especially from a policy perspective, it's hard to start to unwind the crime issue without touching into the healthcare issue or the education issue. You know, there is a cycle that happens here in New Mexico where, you know, we aren't offering enough off-ramps from a life of crime, and often that's incited by poverty. You know, and it's a multifaceted issue. And we have, you know, in other states, good examples of, you know, when you provide off-ramps, when you provide hands up, you know, opportunities for people to get on a better education track, you know, get them access to the best schools. You know, that's a huge way, education.
So for example, I think Michelle Lujan Grisham, our incumbent governor right now, would say, well, I'm doing all kinds of things about education. Right now, if you graduate from a New Mexico high school, you can go to college basically for free. The state will supplement what the New Mexico lottery doesn't pay for.
Sure.
And so you can go to college for free. But the problem is that we're not getting that many people. One, a lot of people are debating whether college is even a very good deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that are involved in vocational kinds of things like construction, electrician, plumbing, et cetera, making great livings. And I don't think that policy is paying for people to be educated in those areas. That Sure. might be nice.
Well, you know, what I just said is often used as the prime excuse for not getting things done as well. You know, it's the truth. And there are many facets to this issue of, you know, the cycle of poverty, the revolving door of crime, all these things are tied together. But, you know, I think even the governor would agree, and she has agreed, you know, without tackling the crime issue, who wants to go to school at UNM? I mean, you know, it's when you have to take the, I used to take the Red Line bus from, you know, Yale and Central down to, you know, Copper and Fifth every single day. And I wouldn't dare send my own kids on that bus line today because the crime has gotten so bad. And so I think even she understands that without addressing one facet of this, you cannot fix the other problems. You know, you can't attract industry into New Mexico until these companies see that this is a place where families are safe. This is a place where families can send their kids to high quality education. You know, all of these things is something that they look at. You know, that combined with our terrible tax system. I mean, you want to get into some issues that are holding New Mexico back, the way our personal income tax is structured, the way our gross receipts tax is structured, it all compounds to make this not an appealing place to set up shop as a business. And until we have more investment into our local economies, we're not going to see, you know, higher tax bases that lead to better public services, that lead to other things, you know, and it's all, like I said, tied together.
Well, you need to tackle Joaquin, I'm 68. I don't know how old you are.
27.
Okay, so you're a young man, and you have more hope that we could work through all of this. A lot of people my age, we go, well, this is just so overwhelming, it's never going to change. Yet our faith tells us we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Mm-hmm. So we're continually praying, and I do pray for New Mexico. I do pray that, you know, things would work out. But here's something that I want to give an example of. So Chief Cecily Barker was just appointed as the new Albuquerque police chief. Mm-hmm. That she's inheriting a difficult thing. I think we have less than 840 sworn police officers in the Albuquerque Police Department. And we've been told by multiple people that know a lot more than us, like former Chief Mike Geyer, that we need 1,600 officers. I think about the professional presence of 1,600 officers on the streets of Albuquerque, and I know they're not all on the street at the same time, but just the professional presence of double the number of officers we currently have would, one, reduce the fatigue that a lot of our current dedicated officers are just working so much, it's crazy, and they're not getting rest, and et cetera. But number two, they could be responding to a lot of things that maybe people would use the word minor crimes. But bottom line is that we need to pray for Cecily Barker. We need mm-hmm. to pray that she is able somehow to recruit 1,400, 1,600 officers, because that hasn't happened. Now, Mayor Keller has gotten criticized quite a bit, but you just mentioned Mayor Keller in a positive way in that he came out to Calvary, he came out to the state fairgrounds when we did Love Day and watched the church providing food and other services like haircuts and had EMTs on site. And he saw the church serving people that don't necessarily share our faith, but they were in need and we want to help them.
Yeah. Well, that's our testimony, right? That's our light to this community. And I think that's our calling as believers, and as believers, not just at large, but here in New Mexico in particular, and it is to bear those fruits of the Spirit and to, you know, grow and be watered and be and show this community. You know, we the problem that I think a lot of us face is we look to government to fix a lot of the issues that I think the church has been called to fix, you know. When it comes to sharing the kindness and love to our neighbors, exactly. Love Day is a perfect example of that. You know, that is an excellent opportunity and for us to shed light on this community and to offer a hand to those in need.
Yeah.
You know, we're called to serve the widow and the orphans, and that's our opportunity to do so. I mean, the more we can do that, I think the better testimony we shed on this community.
Do you have hope that we can work through a lot of political issues? Do you see enough people cooperating in Santa Fe during the legislative session? Because I think it's hard for most of the public. Is there cooperation happening that we don't see?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think I'd go a step further to say a vast majority, or maybe not a majority, but maybe a simple majority, at least just over half, I'd say, of the work that gets done. You know, the governor signs hundreds of bills every single year. We know and hear about maybe a dozen of them that are perhaps the most controversial. Many of those are bipartisan efforts, you know, quiet fixes to, you know, different tax issues for a certain industry, or, you know, maybe we're looking at, you know, the wine program in New Mexico, you know, something that's a great driver of the economy. And there's, you know, that's not a partisan issue. And I know, you know, some of the work I've done for State Senator Crystal Brantley is on a lot of those kind of quiet win issues, I would say.
Well, I know that they've been working on green chili production.
Oh, yeah.
They've been working on, as you mentioned, the manufacture of wine, which a lot of people don't know happens in Deming quite a bit. Mm-hmm. That's kind of become the second Napa Valley. But there's a lot of things that are necessary to get in. Like, for example, I'm offended. I'll back up. So I come from a banking background. I could pull an FBI background check and a credit report on you, and it took 10 minutes. But for some reason, it takes 10 years to legally immigrate to this country. Mm. That's just wrong. That shouldn't happen. We need immigrants. But at the same time, that doesn't justify coming into the country and some countries sending all their criminals to the United States, which obviously is a malicious intent. And also would be a benefit to them because they no longer have to deal with it. So I do believe in secure borders, but I also believe that probably the majority of families that are here, regardless how they got here, are just wanting to take care of their families like me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think that there's work to go around. I believe God's going to provide for families, and we just got to figure out how to make it so people can flourish,
yeah,
and take advantage of what God's given us. That's the other thing. It always bothered me. Like I serve on the board of Feed New Mexico Kids, and it's baffling to me that in the United States of America, there are children that have no food on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not blaming that on a political thing. I'm looking at us. Mm-hmm. What are we doing?
Yeah.
We got to make sure everybody has food. We just do.
Well, and I always tell folks, you know, it's frustrating when all you look at is national politics. You know, you want to pull your hair out. You know, you go turn on Fox News or CNN. It's frustrating because you feel that so many people, you know, that your voice doesn't matter. You know, and that's a big problem here in New Mexico, is just a culture of apathy and, you know, within the Christian faith, not engaging with the process. But, you know, you talk to people who have put themselves in the process. You start small, you know. Go volunteer with Feed New Mexico Kids. Find out who's running for city council in your area. You know, you will find that the vast majority of the problems that you are actually frustrated about, you can have a real impact on. You know, you want to see the roads improved. Well, talk to your state legislature that appropriates the money for the state road fund or manages the trust fund that feeds those programs. Or, you know, you deal with the city council who, you know, they're not picking up a trash on a certain route. Well, get on your counselor, you know, tell them to make sure.
So this is really interesting. What we're going to do is take a 2-minute break to say thank you to our sponsors. We do appreciate them very much. We also appreciate you listening to KLYT Radio and ABQ Connect this afternoon. Joaquin Romero is with us. And Joaquin, I'm going to challenge you when we come back to give us more of those ideas about how people can serve the community. And what I'm really fascinated with is that you're encouraging us to contact our representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if they'll actually act on what we ask them to do. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. Joaquin Romero is in studio with us. Joaquin has been working in politics for a number of years, been up at the state legislature for about 6 or 7 years, and has worked with both sides of the aisle. He's been the communication director for the New Mexico Senate Republicans. He's an author of multiple articles, like I've found a couple of them on NewMexicoSun.com. I know I've worked with him on podcasts. He's a producer. He's doing all kinds of things. Plus, he's a dad. Two kids?
Mm-hmm. Two kids and one on the way.
Two kids. Live south of Santa Fe a little bit. I didn't, you know, I hope your wife appreciates that I'm joking, but I didn't know that that she was a Democrat and you're a Republican, which I find that to be really interesting. But it also is part of what I emphasized earlier. Look, when you're a believer in Jesus, you can't just assume that everybody agrees with your political views, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, but at the same time, our faith, I think, should consume and inform the decisions we make about politics and everything else. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I just don't know, like I've not been faithful to pray for leaders that I have a difference with. In fact, I would complain about them, condemn them. So I repent. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to start. It's not that I won't disagree with them, but I'm going to start praying for them and pray for their perspectives to change. So just before the break, you started talking about ways people can engage in the process. And one of the things I was most fascinated with is you talked about contacting your local legislator.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody in the state of New Mexico is represented by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to nmlegis.gov, and you can either put in your address, that's the easiest way, and your representatives, both in the Senate and in the House, will come up.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. If you contact them about any issue, will they respond?
Yeah, I mean, it's really up to each legislator. Some are a little more hands-on than others, you know. A lot of people don't know this, but many of those cell phone numbers that are listed on there are the personal cell phones of legislators. You know, you can get a direct line text call. Many of these legislators, they also have legislative aides. You know, for example, you know, I'm listed on there as a legislative aide, somebody that you can contact to get a hold of your legislator. So I'd encourage everybody to find those numbers, find out who are those staff people. These are new positions, staff people that are assigned to these members to help them in constituent services for any issues relating to state government. These are the folks that can help you out. You know, I'd also encourage people, reach out to them when you have an issue with something going on. This session, you know, Senate Bill 17 was a big issue. You remember 17?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big gun bill. You know, they wanted to ban, you know, quote unquote assault rifles, limit magazines to 10 rounds, put a bunch of new restrictions on gun shops. You and I talked about that a lot. A friend of my mom's, I should say, here at Calvary, she's a competitive 3-gun shooter at Del Norte Gun Club. You know, she, I hope she won't mind me sharing her story. She's shared it on other platforms, so I feel comfortable to mention it. You know, she purchased her first firearm because she had a stalking incident, you know, and she got very comfortable. She wanted to be comfortable with firearms, so she started getting training. She found that the training led to an interest, and, you know, now she travels all around the country shooting competitive 3-gun, which is a, you know, a sport where you use a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And so this legislation was very close to her. You know, the stated goal of this legislation was to curb crime, to reduce gun violence. Well, you know, from her perspective, this was incongruent with her lived experience. You know, she mm-hmm. wanted a firearm to defend herself. And so she called her Democrat senator who was sponsoring the legislation and said, "Hey, I'm a constituent. This is my story." Well, a few weeks into the session, I see her at the roundhouse and I say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" She said, Senator Burgum's asked for a meeting with me." And so, you know, that's a great example of a legislator got a note from a constituent, and it was just a simple email. It wasn't a form letter. It wasn't a bulk blast to your legislator, because there's a lot of these action alerts that go around.
I hear you saying, it's not a manipulation. It's a simple communication.
No, and she wasn't going up there to do a gotcha or some kind of, and so she just, you know, she prayed about it. She wrote an honest letter that said, "Hey, I disagree with your legislation because of this, and you represent me. Can I come up to tell you my story?" And she said, "Yes," and scheduled time. And I know many legislators. My first session, I worked for a guy named Jason Harper, former state representative out of Rio Rancho, and he frequently took meetings. I mean, the guy was working for Sandia National Labs from like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. going to the roundhouse to fix tax policy. I don't know how that guy ever did it. But he still made time during the day. If somebody said, hey, I'm a constituent, I'd like to talk to you. Yeah, if you made the trip and you came up to Santa Fe to talk to me, here's, you know, I will hear you out. And oftentimes you hear legislators in debate say, I had a constituent come to me and say that they did not like this. And it doesn't have to be many people. And that's what I always tell people too is, you know, you think that there's these great masses of people that are dictating a lot of this, you know, policy agenda. Really, it's a handful of well-organized and very vocal people. And it doesn't take much if you are not with that group to put together your own coalition, group of friends that get together and say, actually, we don't agree with this, and here's why, and we're going to go talk to our legislators. You'd be surprised how many of the issues can be greatly affected by a small group like that.
I love that encouragement. I know I had a chance to speak with Steve Pierce in the 9-10 years I've been on the radio here at KLYT about numbers of people in the church, people that are of faith, the faith community, how many of them are registered to vote. And he told me something kind of shocking. He said only 50% of the people that would call themselves Christians are registered to vote. But he said, here's the most perplexing thing. Only half of those people will actually vote in the general election. And it's even less in the primaries, which we have coming up here in June. Mm-hmm. So if there's one thing I'm hoping to accomplish by having you on the air, Joaquin, is for you to tell us how important it is for, even though we only get one vote, how important is it for us to vote and register to vote?
Oh, it's everything. I don't think you have room to stand on to criticize if you are not engaging with the process at the bare minimum level, which is to vote. It is a blessing that we get to vote in this country. It is a privilege that it is something that we take for granted, you know, that we have this constitutional republic, this democracy, that it's so fragile. And it only takes a little bit of apathy, a little bit of, you know, call it voter suppression, call it what you'd like, for the status quo to remain enshrined. You know, if we have people that are showing up to the ballot box to vote, at the very least, we all have a mutual understanding that we're all engaged with this process. You know, it's very frustrating that people are not engaging with that process, especially believers who we do have an ideology, right? I mean, we have been given the Holy Gospel. We've been given the word of God to be our shining light and to be our compass. And so we need to take that and to compare it to what's happening, you know, and say, okay, well, who of these people best aligns with, you know, where I think we've been called to go? And if you're not engaging with that process, it makes it very difficult to criticize or to lament what is not happening when you haven't engaged at the bare minimum level.
I have to testify, too, that it is really easy to register to vote. I've registered people to vote in the vestibule at Calvary right after services, and it takes no more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. No matter what county you live in, you can register to vote online. Number two, actual voting, I live in Corrales. I can walk into the voting in Corrales, and I'm not there 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, I would encourage everybody, and we'll talk about this in the last segment after this break, how do you prepare to vote? What are some sources that you would recommend people refer to? But I will tell you, if you're prepared to vote, you can even print up a sample ballot, have it pre-marked, go in, do your voting, and literally you're gone in three minutes. I have not seen a line in 10 years. So I want to compliment, you know, the people at the polls, the people that volunteer, they do a great job. We're with Joaquin Romero. He's going to come back and tell us about sources of information, and he knows a lot of people and depends upon think tanks and other policy builders and makers that can help guide us as we work our way through the things that New Mexico needs to correct. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after this.
LYT, welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Hope you're having a great Monday. Joaquin Romero in studio with us. We're talking about New Mexico politics. Joaquin, if someone feels overwhelmed by politics, let's just take New Mexico. Federal politics is another thing. What's the first step people should take to get engaged with New Mexico politics?
Well, with New Mexico politics in particular, you know, we have some pretty good local media stations. You know, start watching the nightly news again. You know, I mean, that's a, of course, it's a little bit of everything, and but that I would say is an easy barrier to entry. Get curious, and when you get curious, I say go to the firsthand source. You know, go to nmlegis.gov. That is the hub for the New Mexico legislature. You can find everything you could ever want in terms of reports, audits, contact information, hearings.
You can print up the bills that are being considered.
Bills. You can print up analysis that you don't even have to be an attorney to, you know, I think a lot of people, they get overwhelmed. You know, they see the legalese, right, of how these bills are written. Well, I'd encourage everybody, on every single one of those bills, it says agencies and analysis. There's a tab right there, and there's a thing that says FIR report. That's the fiscal impact report. FIR always has a two-paragraph, plain English, what does this bill do and why is it written and what's it going to do? You know, in very straight, neutral terms, you know, the folks that are putting these analysis together, they're analysts. They're not partisan. And we, as the taxpayers, pay them to be nonpartisan. And so they are delivering at the most basic level exactly what this legislation does. You know, we also have other outlets. You know, you and I worked on the New Mexico Sun together for a while, where, you know, that's kind of passed. But the New Mexico Sentinel is a new one that's owned by a friend of ours that just started here recently. And that's covering politics and policy at the state level. And we have a handful of just...
So what if TikTok videos are showing up on your Facebook? Should you believe everything you read there?
Well, I would say, you know, some of those folks, you know, we have an interesting dynamic right now happening in the New Mexico media landscape, you know, where you actually do have some of those independent journalists, I'll call them, going out and doing really interesting work. I've seen, you know, people with just an iPhone interviewing gubernatorial candidates and getting exclusives and things like that, which is kind of neat. But for folks that are savvy on their phones, I'd say you can go to any of the AI platforms and say, hey, go to the Legis website for me, take a compilation of what the news coverage is and give me a standard, you know, white paper sheet on this issue. That is a phenomenal synthesis tool that can take a bunch of inputs. You don't have to cram 15 different pages of Google. You know, we have these incredible tools that are great at information gathering. You know, I think that's the most I'll give AI at this point is they are phenomenal information magnets, you know? And if you want to know, say, let's go back to our example earlier, Senate Bill 17, you could easily punch in and just say, what does Senate Bill 17 do? Who is behind it, who's advocating for it, who's against it. And that's a very easy way to get informed on some of these things that can feel muddy. You know, you go through social media and you get a lot of whatever's in your bubble, right? The algorithms feed you what they think you want to hear about a given issue. And you can't tell, well, is that really what it does? There's easy ways to fact check yourself now. You can go to the primary source, you can go to a secondary source like AI to get a summary. But it's very accessible. We have never had more information available to the public than we have right now.
I will tell you an example. You, of course, know Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. Mm-hmm. He's usually with us about every 3 or 4 weeks. He'll come on for an hour and talk about, you know, the latest and greatest going on in New Mexico politics. But he was on the show here a month and a half ago talking about the proposed increase in gross receipts tax that the city council was trying to have approved. And it was phenomenal for him to come on and say, look, this is actually a much more substantial increase than you think. Our gross receipts tax is already pretty high at 7.875. It's almost 8% in Bernalillo County. So It was interesting for Paul to give us that perspective. And then with wiping his brow after the vote, you know, the city council defeated it. I think 7-1 defeated increasing the gross receipts tax, which a lot of people were praying. That's what we've encouraged you to do. A lot of people were contacting their city councilors, mm-hmm. which you can find all of that information really easy right on the computer, and their contact information and everything is available. I'm assuming that's true in Santa Fe, Raton, Las Cruces, Clovis, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And all of that and staying engaged in the process is how you're able. I mean, the GRT tax increase, they heard it. I mean, those city councilors heard it from their constituents, from their businesses, from their, you know, from their food trucks that operate in their areas, from everybody who is going to be affected by this. And not just on the first pass, but in the pyramiding effect that GRT has. You know, Paul, I'd like to give a plug to our friend Paul Guessing, his yeah. website, Errors of Enchantment, a phenomenal way to get, you know, sometimes complicated, especially fiscal issues, issues of taxes and of, you know, fiscal policy. You know, Paul does a really good job of digesting a lot of the information, making it tangible to your average voter. And then our friend Fred Nathan, that's another great one. Think New Mexico. I think it's thinknewmexico.org. He and his group, nonpartisan group, bipartisan board, they have several policy papers. They've been very involved in the medical malpractice fight. You know, one of those issues that we're seeing some progress on after many years of fighting that issue.
What's interesting about that is Fred is an attorney, but the trial attorneys are the primary opposition to a lot of the things that have to happen to reduce medical malpractice claims, bring doctors back to New Mexico, make insurance for them more affordable. I mean, there's just a lot. But none of those things, you made the statement earlier, none of the four or five things that are facing New Mexico now really can happen independently. Yeah. Crime, education, attracting business back to the state, economic development, they're all intertwined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all compounding, right? I mean, we fail in one section, we're going to fail in all the others. You know, if we fail to provide adequate health care for our people, who wants to raise their family here? Who wants to grow old here in our state? Both of which I think you should raise your kids here. I love seeing my kids out in the dirt in South Santa Fe County and, you know, living a rural life, seeing the Milky Way. Where else in the country can you still see the Milky Way at night? I mean, what an incredible state we live in. It is the only thing that keeps me engaged here, is to think that without being engaged, we allow our state to continue to fall behind. We need people who have roots here, have a future that they want here, to stay engaged in the process and to continue moving it forward.
Joaquin, if somebody were to say to you as you walk out the door today, hey, my vote doesn't really matter, it's just one vote among many, I'm not going to vote, what would you say to them?
I'd say your vote is everything. I mean, in a legislative, I've been at, you know, I've been involved in politics for a long time on the political and on the policy side, on the government side. You know, you mentioned Steve Pierce. You know, that election, we were sitting there until midnight counting every single last vote in some of these House races. So your vote absolutely matters.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, especially in the primaries, you're talking about maybe 1,000, 2,000 votes in any given district. So one vote means a lot in those smaller areas.
Absolutely.
Joaquin, thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Look forward to much more interaction and appreciate all you're doing to serve our state.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.